We're starting chapter 13 of Emma. There could hardly be a happier creature in the world than Mrs. John Knightley in this short visit to Hartfield, going about every morning among her old acquaintance with her five children and talking over what she had done every evening with her father and her sister. She had nothing to wish otherwise, but that the days did not pass so swiftly. It was a delightful visit, perfect in being much too short. In general, their evenings were less engaged with friends than their mornings, but one complete dinner engagement and out of the house too, there was no avoiding, though at Christmas, Mr. Weston would take no denial. They must all dine at Randall's one day. Even Mr. Woodhouse was persuaded to think it a possible thing in preference to a division of the party. How they were all to be conveyed, he would have to make a difficulty if he could, but as his son and daughter's carriage and horses were actually at Hartfield, he was not able to make more than a simple question on that head. It hardly amounted to a doubt. Nor did it occupy Emma long to convince him that they might in one of the carriages find room for Harriet also. Harriet, Mr. Elton, and Mr. Knightley, in their own especial set, were the only persons invited to meet them. The hours were to be early, as well as the numbers few, Mr. Woodhouse's habit and inclination being consulted in everything. The evening, before this great event, for it was a very great event that Mr. Woodhouse should dine out on the 24th of December, had been spent by Harriet at Hartfield, and she had gone home so much indisposed with a cold that but for her own earnest wish of being nursed by Mrs. Goddard, Emma could not have allowed her to leave the house. Emma called on her the next day and found her doom already signed with regard to Randall's. She was very feverish and had a bad sore throat. Mrs. Goddard was full of care and affection. Mr. Perry was talked of, and Harriet herself was too ill and low to resist the authority which excluded her from this delightful event, though she could not speak of her loss without many tears. Emma sat with her as long as she could to attend her in Mrs. Goddard's unavoidable absences, and raise her spirits by representing how much Mr. Elton would be depressed when he knew her state, and left her at last tolerably comfortable, in the sweet dependence of his having a most comfortless visit, and of all their missing her very much. She had not advanced many yards from Mrs. Goddard's door when she was met by Mr. Elton himself, evidently coming towards it, and as they walked on slowly in conversation about the invalid, of whom he, on the rumor of considerable illness, had been going to inquire, that he might carry some report of her to Hartfield, they were overtaken by Mr. John Knightley returning from the daily visit to Donwell, with his two eldest boys, who healthily, glowing faces, showed all the benefit of a country run, and seemed to ensure a quick dispatch of the roast mutton and rice pudding they were hastening home for. They joined company and proceeded together. Emma was just describing the nature of her friend's complaint. A throat very much inflamed, with a great deal of heat about her, a quick low pulse, etc., and she was sorry to find from Mrs. Goddard that Harriet was liable to bad sore throats, and had often alarmed her with them. Mr. Elton looked all alarm on the occasion as he exclaimed, "A sore throat? I hope not infectious. I hope not of a putrid infectious sort. Has Perry seen her? Indeed, you should take care of yourself as well as of your friend. Let me entreat you to run no risks. Why not Perry see her?" Emma, who was not really at all frightened herself, tranquilized this excess of apprehension by assurances of Mrs. Goddard's experience and care. But as there must still remain a degree of uneasiness which she could not wish to reason away, which she would rather feed and assist than not, she added soon afterward, as if quite another subject, "It is so cold, so very cold, and looks and feels so very much like snow, that if it were to any other place or with any other party, I should really try not to go out today and dissuade my father from venturing. But as he has made up his mind and does not seem to feel the cold himself, I do not like to interfere, as I know it would do a great disappointment to Mr. and Mrs. Weston. But upon my word, Mr. Elton, in your case, I should certainly excuse myself. You appear to me a little hoarse already, and when you consider what demand of voice and what fatigues tomorrow will bring, I think it would be no more than common prudence to stay at home and take care of yourself tonight. Mr. Elton looked as if he did not very well know what answer to make, which was exactly the case, for though very much gratified by the kind care of such a fair lady, and not liking to resist any advice of hers, he had not really the least inclination to give up the visit. But Emma, too eager and busy in her own previous conceptions and views to hear him impartially, or see him with clear vision, was very well satisfied with his muttering acknowledgment of its being very cold, certainly very cold, and walked on, rejoicing in having extricated him from Randall's, and secured him the power of sending to inquire after Harriet every hour of the evening. "You do quite right," she said. "We will make your apologies to Mr. and Mrs. Weston." But hardly had she so spoken when she found her brother was civilly offering a seat in his carriage, as if the weather were Mr. Elton's only objection, and Mr. Elton actually accepting the offer with much prompt satisfaction. It was a done thing. Mr. Elton was to go, and never had his broad, handsome face expressed more pleasure than at this moment. Never had his smile been stronger, nor his eyes more exulting than he next looked at her. "Well," said she to herself, "this is most strange, and I had got him off so well to choose to go into company and leave Harriet ill behind. Most strange indeed. But there is, I believe, in many men, especially single men, such an inclination, such a passion for dining out. A dinner engagement is so high in the class of their pleasures, their employments, their dignities, almost their duties, that anything gives way to it. And this must be the case with Mr. Elton, a most valuable, amiable, pleasing young man, undoubtedly, and very much in love with Harriet. But still, he cannot refuse an invitation. He must dine out whenever he is asked. What a strange thing love is. He can see ready wit in Harriet, but he will not dine alone for her." Soon afterward, Mr. Elton quitted them, and she could not do him the justice of feeling that there was a great deal of sentiment in his manner of naming Harriet at parting. In the tone of his voice, while assuring her that he should call at Mrs. Goddard's for news of her fair friend, the last thing before he prepared for the happiness of meeting her again, when he hoped to be able to give a better report, and he sighed and smiled himself off in a way that left the balance of approbation much in his favor. I think we'll stop there. It's bedtime, my beautiful kitten. Sweet dreams. I love you so much.